And so it's just kind of a shitty way to deal with people, you know, yeah. on the recruiting side. But yeah,
we could rail on recruiting all day.
and we will.
Hey, Chase, we're doing it again.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to lean into that being the opening for all podcasts from here on out. I've accepted it.
Go full Britney Spears with it. Just oops, we did it again every single time.
I think we can get rights to that song. Probably not.
Probably not, but I mean, I don't think we have enough money to do that. Yeah, we can try it. Maybe we can make our own version of it that's like not owned by anybody. Like, oh no, we accidentally started this again.
Oh dear, it has begun again. So last week we had the experience of talking through security financials with Thomas, and it's such an interesting perspective to hear what it's like for someone else to get into security and to especially see the financial securities side of the world.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how how the security organizations and the financial organizations are kind of linked and how there should be a closer relationship between the two.
Yeah, it's definitely something I never thought about until working with Thomas, and now that's all I think about. Well, that's not true, but I think about it a lot now.
Yeah.
But that sort of got me thinking that, you know, we've talked a lot about other people's origins in security, and I think we've scratched a little bit on our own. Mm-hmm. But today I felt it might be appropriate, instead of having a guest, that we have a chat with you, Chase Siberius Lindquist.
For legal reasons, that's not my actual middle name.
I've officially changed your middle name. And just trying to get an understanding of, you know, where you came from, how you decided to get into security, and what your experience is up to this point.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's important for people to hear that not everyone's path is the same.
Yes.
And you can come from a weird background, you can come from a weird direction, and still end up in security, as long as that's what you find your passion for that and you aim towards it.
100%, yeah. For me, I was bitten by a radioactive hacker.
Gross.
Yeah, and so now I have the powers of two men, but one happens to know cybersecurity.
Ooh. I'm uncomfortable by that thought. You're just roaming around the outside of Las Vegas during DEF CON.
Yeah, and someone with fingerless gloves grabs me, and they peel back their hood and bite me.
My last job, I had to wear fingerless gloves because where I was working was so cold to type. Or to type anything, my fingers were numb. So I had to put on the trope there.
Yeah, fingerless gloves, hoodie, ski mask. These are all the basic uniforms we bring to assessments.
I was 2 weeks away from ski mask. No joke. Like, it was cold. Because we were in a room adjacent to like the server room. So we had the HVAC temperatures from the server room in this little tiny room. So it was it was an ice box.
Oh, that sucks.
It was so cold. So being in there for anywhere between 8 to 10 hours in a day. But I digress. Today is about you, not me. So for real though, what I know, a little bit at least, is you actually have a degree in cybersecurity.
Yes.
You also have some military training and military background. You worked in a non-cybersecurity centric company doing cybersecurity, but just they weren't a cybersecurity company.
Yes.
And now you're here.
Yeah. So, that pretty much sums it up. We can end the podcast.
No. Let's get some details. So
yeah.
I guess to start out, did you know in high school that you wanted to do security stuff?
Not necessarily. I didn't really put much thought into what I wanted to do outside of like joining the military and all that jazz. But I always wanted to do things with computers, that much I knew. And so I actually started out in college after I got through my like basic training and my job training for the National Guard. I started out in, it was like information system management or something like that. So more on the business side, but I really wanted to do technical things. I hated all of the general finance classes I had to take and the business classes and all that. Not to disparage that field or anything like that, just it definitely wasn't for me. And then I was kind of aimless. I didn't really know where I wanted to go with it. And then I looked up saw this news article that the Army was starting a cybersecurity branch. I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then I saw this one other thing where, like, maybe a month or two before that, my school, University of Cincinnati, they started a cybersecurity program, which is, our program was IT with a focus in cybersecurity. And I thought that was a good enough sign, so I switched into it and just kind of fell in love. I started doing a lot of learning outside of the classroom. The actual cybersecurity program itself wasn't bad, but it was one of those things where it was a mile wide and an inch deep, and there's a lot to cover for cybersecurity. So I feel like that program could have definitely benefited more if they had broken it out into more specific cybersecurity tracks, like maybe something with, like, hey, blue team, red team, forensics, something on those lines, so that students have more control over the classes they're taking in the future. Personally, I think the most value that came out of that program came from the fact that they required 5 semesters of internships, which was nice because these were paid, so I didn't have to worry about a lot of, like, the secondary jobs in school. So my first company I interned with, I was doing general IT shenanigans. The first one was project management, working with this commercial website development thing. And then the second one with the same company, I was doing more of database administration and some machine learning stuff, but it was kind of not really done in the greatest way. For instance, the guy was essentially trying to make a machine learning algorithm using entirely SQL, which, if that doesn't sound right to you, it's because it's not. It was god awful, but he was like mid-60s, very set in his way. And so we kind of...
Very determined.
We had a bit of, a Skunkworks on the side? Is that what it's called? When they had the... Yeah, Skunkworks. We had a bit of one where we were doing some other stuff with, like, R and jazz like that. But so that was fun. I was only there for, like, it was an internship, so I was only there for 4 months, so I wasn't really able to see that progress too far. And then after that, I started working at the company where I met our co-host here. He actually was my mentor when I started as an intern there, and that was my first actual practical work experience when it came to cybersecurity. So we were doing blue teamy fun stuff, and yeah, I got another internship doing more blue teamy fun stuff with the same company but in a different location, and then I started working there for a little bit after I graduated, and then things got a little toxic there for and for lack of a better term, and I don't really want to get into all that jazz, but started looking for other jobs and saw a posting on r/netsec for Black Lantern Security. So I figured I might as well. Never really heard of the company before that, but I applied, went through the CTF and the other hiring process, and got accepted and have been really enjoying it since then. But that's pretty much my civilian work path to get to where I'm at. On the military side, I started out in field artillery in a brigade combat team doing various things. You know, it's not really related to cybersecurity, and it was not very exciting. And then I, about 3 years in, I was also in ROTC in college at the time. I had some medical things that basically just destroyed my body for a couple years, so that prevented me from actually commissioning, and I got out of the Army after my six-year contract finished up. But the first 3 years was doing the field artillery thing. And then when I contracted with ROTC, the head of our program, the PMS, he was good friends with someone who basically started the cyber protection team for Ohio. And so he brought him down, and that guy interviewed myself and two of my fellow classmates. And he brought us on as cadets at the cyber protection team, which was essentially it was early on in the Army cybersecurity program, so that's not something that's really been done before. So it was kind of building the car as we were driving it.
As we were wont to do in cybersecurity.
Yeah, exactly. And so I had 3 years experience there. There were some training opportunities and all that, but most of my learning and training came from outside, kind of what I did for myself, so to speak, because I was a cadet. It wasn't like I was a full-on person that they were sending to, like, the year-long training for the cybersecurity job and all that. So I basically kept up a ton of self-learning.
So just to make sure we've got the timeline right, you got out of high school. Well,
yep.
Did you say you did ROTC in high school, or was that just in college?
It was JROTC, which is it's different from the college version. JROTC, basically, if you finish up a few years of the program, you get to come in at like a slightly higher enlisted rank. But other than that, it doesn't really have any association with the military. There's like former military guys teaching it, but it's very much more informal. Actual college ROTC is where you come out and you commission as a second lieutenant for the Army in either active duty, National Guard, or the reserves. So that one is actually like a big boy formalized program.
Big boy.
Big boy.
Big boy, yeah. ROTC.
Yeah, adults.
Okay, so you go to college, you do ROTC. Mm-hmm. You did basic before college, right?
Yeah, I did basic in my it's called AIT, Advanced Individual Training, for 13 Fox, which was Forward Observer. I think it's like Fire Support Specialist is the official title. And I was like, cool, I'll get to call on artillery and have some fun and all that. And then I end up in a brigade combat team headquarters where I'm just sitting behind a computer. It's like, oh, not what I signed up for at all. So that was fun.
If I'm sitting behind a computer, I should at least be able to know what I'm doing on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you got into college and you knew you wanted to do something technical right out of the boat, but you sort of stepped too far into the IT business focus. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why you didn't jump right into like CS or something like that?
Math, mostly. I didn't have like any opportunities to learn technical things growing up. No one I knew really was in tech, and my programs in high school, the most technical program we had was Business Foundations, where we learned Excel and Word on, I think it was probably like Windows Vista or Windows XP. So I didn't really have much technical influence growing up. So I didn't really know everything that was going on. But I knew I wanted to do stuff with computers because obviously like gaming and stuff like that kind of got me into like building PCs and troubleshooting issues when I messed things up because I didn't know what I was doing. And so that's kind of where that started.
Right. Okay. So you go into college, not a lot of, or no technical background outside of, you know, hobbyist sort of perspective. And then you realize, well, you know, there's gotta be more interesting things I can do here.
There's gotta be a better way.
Did you start with Ohio Cybercom before you swapped to the cybersecurity major, or did you, which one happened first?
The cybersecurity major happened first. I think I was in the security major for maybe a year or two before I started doing Army cyber stuff. And pretty much the reason why I got picked to go to the cyber protection team was because I was in ROTC and I was in this cybersecurity program. So it was just a matter of being right place, right time, and right conditions.
Okay, so you're, because of what you were doing in college, you sort of met their criteria by accident almost.
Yeah, I got extremely, extremely lucky when it came to that.
When you were doing your cybersecurity major, in full disclosure, I've kind of picked on cybersecurity majors in the past just because they're new and
kind they of deserve it.
kind of in line with what you said. A lot of the early ones were mile wide, inch deep kind of deal where they were trying to do probably too much and it led to people coming out, at least the people that I'd interacted with before, or students or interns that I'd interacted with before, they came out thinking they knew everything, but because of the way that the cybersecurity majors were designed, they really didn't have very much practical knowledge. They just had a lot of theoretical. Granted, I think that might just be the way that technical degree programs work anyways. but, you know, so hearing your perspective on it when you first came and started working with us, it was interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that it would have been nice if they had tracks. What was the major like in the early days? What was like the class structure? What was the major focus or anything like that?
It was just a bit of everything. Like we would be going through, we had to do gen eds for the actual IT program itself before we could actually get into or start doing any of the cybersecurity classes. And so like, I would have to take a class on like Photoshop. and like programming, which was helpful, but there's stuff like Photoshop and some other things where it's like, why? I'm not going to need this when I actually do cybersecurity stuff. You know,
I'm also surprised an IT major needs Photoshop anyways.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I guess maybe the graphics design team or program, I guess.
I don't know why that was one of the required classes for the program, but yeah. And so it was just these like general classes like everyone gets for the first couple years. But then after that, it was cybersecurity focused general classes. So we never actually got to the very specialized info. We would have like, oh, hey, you have to take a class on forensics. You have to take a class on penetration testing. You have to take a class on networking. You have to take a class on like this, this, and this. And so it is a good like taster, but I think it would have been better served if they had those generalized cybersecurity classes in the first 2 years, and then you specialized in the last 2 years, and you were able to get down to the nitty gritty, more focused classes that would be more specific to your specific track. Because it feels like it's almost gearing you up for some sort of management position or something along those lines. But no organization should be hiring someone right out of college for management, you know?
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Not advisable. So I guess of the classes that you took that were cybersecurity focused, are there any that stick out to you as like, this was a defining class for me? This is something that I still like call back on from time to time.
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say that honestly, there was so much more value out of the internships, more so than anything else, because just that practical work experience was extremely helpful, both in finding out what I wanted to do and in just kind of allowing me to learn the cybersecurity stuff, because I'm very much a hands-on learner. And so a lot of the stuff where it's just like reading from a textbook or listening to a lecture, stuff like that, is just not the most helpful for me personally.
Gotcha. You also mentioned that during the same time, or during your time in college, you were also doing independent study. Mm-hmm. What did that consist of? What were you doing to help supplement your education?
Yeah, so it was basically just kind of researching the topics that I wanted to learn about. I would be often interning in areas that were hours away from my school or people I knew, so I had quite a bit of free time. I started off going after like my Security Plus and some of the other stuff. I eventually got my CEH funded through the Guard, which I would not really recommend people to pay for it themselves. It's a little personal thing. And then I'm a stupid person, and I was like, hey, what if I just jumped headfirst into the OSCP and tried to learn that way? Because like I said before, I'm a very hands-on learner, and I feel like that's one of the things where the OSCP is kind of good, is by giving you that hands-on experience. And so with almost very little to no bedrock knowledge, I just started doing the OSCP. And it took me a while to like build up to it. And there's definitely a lot of gaps between when I wasn't, or like from when I wasn't doing it, because I would stop when I would be like in school and all that. But I think that helped me learn a lot. It just was not the most cost-effective way to learn.
So yeah, you jumped into the OSCP without very much background, and that's actually a very familiar experience to me, because I kind of did the same thing.
It's like jumping into college. It's like jumping into the deep end of a shark-filled pool.
Yeah. Hey, so you like security? Yeah, I do. Here, go dive in this alligator-infested swamp, and you'll learn.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus. So I definitely feel you on that. So you've got a couple of certs under your belt. Then what's your experience with certs / recommendations?
I mean, I already shit talked the CEH. I apologize if any of you guys out there are champions of the CEH or anything, but my experience was that the hardest part about the test was that it seemed like it was poorly translated into English, and so it was hard sometimes to figure out exactly what it was asking. But I mean, it just wasn't really great. I would definitely not pay for it out of pocket. If you have like an employer who's going to pay for it, or if you're in the government and you need it as some sort of requirement, I'm all for you getting it that way. I don't disparage anyone who gets it. I just personally don't think it's worth the cost. I started out, the first one I got was a Security Plus, and I think I got, yeah, Cybersecurity Analyst Plus was another one I got. Forgot about that one.
Now, real quick, with the CEH, you got it when it was the, was it version 7 or version 8? And but you haven't done it with the newest version that actually has a practical piece to it, right?
I have not, no. So I can't speak to that version of it. And I also can't speak to the newer version of the Security Plus exam because I got it back when it was like a cakewalk. I've talked to people who have taken it since then, and apparently they've gotten their shit together and it's more difficult now. Okay. But yeah, I took the Cybersecurity Analyst Plus when it was, I think it was like fresh out of the beta for it, or the testing. I don't know if they call it beta when they are making the tests, but that one was a bit more practical than Security Plus, a bit more interesting, but it wasn't bad. I definitely do think the most valuable learning experience I've gotten was from the OSCP, even if it wasn't. It's very good about teaching you the mindset. It's not necessarily the most up-to-date, which, again, that's gone through changes since I've taken it, so it very well could be better now.
Yeah, I think they released their the newest version of the OSCP like 6 months after I finished mine. I'm like, well, balls. Okay, here we go. But I do agree with you. There are certain things, at least the version of OSCP that we took, it had its – it was dated – from time to time. I think I agree, but actually it's not that I think I agree. I do agree from the perspective of, you know, if you use it as a tool to teach you the methodology, that is the most important thing to take away from the OSCP, because no matter what, you're not going to pass that 24-hour exam if you don't have a methodology down.
Yes.
I don't care what boxes you run into. I don't care what vulnerabilities you have to review or try and exploit. If you don't have the methodology down, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, and we talked about this a bit in the a couple podcast episodes ago with Mike, but the technology is always going to be changing. It's that methodology that is going to remain consistent, and that's kind of in my mind anyway. As I mean, I'm very new to the field still, you know, but in my mind, that's what makes a successful pen tester is having that methodology and being able to adapt it to new situations.
Yeah, we're not all technical savants at every single piece of technology. We just have a process that we follow when it comes to examining new technology.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you go to an organization and there's some technology that's older than both of us, and there's some technology that came out like 6 days ago, it's impossible to know everything about all this stuff. But being able to approach it with the appropriate mindset and being able to conduct research and figuring out how you can break it is what's key.
I did just come off of an engagement where we were reviewing an application that was still written in COBOL. So that is absolutely the case.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get sometimes.
Yeah. It's like box of chocolates. Please don't sue us, Tom Hanks.
So did you know you wanted to do red teaming as soon as you got into the cybersecurity field, or did you sort of feel it out as you were going along?
I think I knew it pretty early on in the cybersecurity field. Blue teaming is extremely, extremely important, but it always just felt kind of vanilla to me, if that makes sense. Red teaming was what kind of got me excited about it. And I really, and also red teaming has a lot of, it's very closely tied to the military. There's a lot of parallels in the language and the way you approach things. And that's kind of what appealed to me starting out.
I think your first day interning under me, I asked a similar question. You're like, yeah, I want to be a pen tester. And I was like, too bad. Yeah. It's hard. Don't do it.
Or and look at us now.
I think what I actually said was something along the lines of, so does everyone else. Learn the basics first, then you'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm not that much of a mean guy as a mentor.
you were really nice.
So you mentioned that you had several different internships. And my ego aside, where do you felt like you learned the most, or what led to you kind of really grasping some of the more major concepts of cybersecurity from those internships?
I think it was the ones where I wasn't working with Sam. No, I mean, my first two internships weren't in cybersecurity. So I think I got, it was nice to see the other sides of things. And I think that personally, one of my weaknesses as a pen tester is the fact that I haven't spent a lot of time in the regular IT I spent a year and a half roughly in the blue team world, but even then, I don't think that's enough time, because I think having the perspective of the person configuring this equipment, setting everything up, is extremely valuable. And the fact that I essentially jumped into security and then jumped into pen testing without getting a lot of that experience, I think is probably one of my weaknesses. Because if that makes sense, I kind of have to play catch up when it comes to figuring out a lot of this stuff. So, I mean, the experience I had with the databases and also kind of seeing what not to do when it came to the aforementioned data scientist, I think that was definitely beneficial. And then, I mean, the blue team experience we got where Sam and I were essentially the only people monitoring the network, an intern and a auditor turned security guy, and having to basically ramp up a monitoring program, I think that was an extremely valuable experience. And I'm not just saying that to suck up to Sam.
You were on the ground with me, though, when we were like using sort of what we were finding as examples of like, hey, we need to legitimately do monitoring here. This is what we're missing. And, you know, I would send you off on little more or less threat hunt missions of like, go find this thing, go find this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the data you brought back helped us fuel the change we needed, plus all of the leadership changes that happened shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
That was definitely an interesting time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I think, a pretty unique experience.
Yeah. How many interns can go back saying, hey, I learned how to completely set up a logging and monitoring program from scratch?
Yeah, good times.
Because you did. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely very, like, do internships as many as you can, as often as you can.
Yes.
Without completely, like, screwing up your sort of school schedule system. Because I only ended up doing two internships when I was in school. But we didn't even have an internship requirement. They were completely optional.
Mm-hmm.
So I 100% was like, okay, I need to do this. I need to get the experience, because that's how you progress from just being a student of topic to being a practitioner of topic.
Yes.
So from the sounds of things, that sounds like an area that your major did well requiring that.
Yes. I mean, everyone jokes, and I joke about this requirement too, because it's downright ridiculous, where there's like, oh, entry level position with 2 years of experience or something like that. And having internships when you're coming out of college will position you really, really well to snag those jobs. Like, you're going to be, assuming that everything else is on the level, you're going to be a lot more attractive as a candidate than your peers who didn't take internships.
Well, yeah, as much as that is kind of the joke in not just security, but also technical fields in general.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is what they really are aiming for, and they're not being explicit about it in those job requirements, are, hey, we want someone who did internships in college, more or less. That's what that translates to.
Yeah.
But for entry level positions, it is kind of a shit move. Recruiters, we see you and we understand it, but it kind of sucks.
It gets the people who made the mistake of, or didn't have the opportunity to do internships in college, it puts them in this cycle of just not being able to find a job, because they can't get experience to find a job, and they can't get a job to get the experience. And so it's just kind of a shitty way to deal with people, you know, on the recruiting side. But yeah.
We could rail on recruiting all day.
and we will.
We will. That's all right. We're changing topics. We're talking about recruiting now.
Are you a security professional who wants to sleep more soundly at night? Well, then consider BlackLearn Security's consulting services. Visit us at blacklearnsecurity.com/contact us for more info, and be sure to mention the podcast.
Okay, so you also had the military experience of working with the Ohio Army Cyber Defense Force? Cyber Protection Team. What was that experience like?
It was very redacted. It was really fun getting into all the redacted, and then we redacted a little bit, and it was good. No, it was very nice having the opportunity to learn from everyone there, because a lot of the one of the good things about the National Guard, and this is one of the things that they publicize a bit, is that everyone else has jobs outside of the National Guard, except for some people who are like techs for the National Guard or full-time staff. And so that's especially helpful in cybersecurity because almost everyone you're working with, they're actually in the civilian industry. They're doing things and they're bringing that knowledge to better the organization. And so I think that's one of the things where National Guard cybersecurity can sometimes even shine brighter than active duty, just because the people are out doing it day in, day out, and they are not dealing with the bureaucratic mess every time they do it on the civilian side. I mean, unless it's the civilian bureaucratic mess. And so I think that it was extremely valuable learning experience for me.
Okay. So I forgot what question I was about to ask you. So, you know, we'll just move on.
Fantastic. What about you, Sam? How'd you get your start in cybersecurity?
I was afraid you were going to turn this on me.
Yeah, turning the tables.
Yeah. Man, now you're not the guest. We're just talking to ourselves now. That's what you've done.
Played an Uno reverse card on you.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I guess at the core, I'm older than you are, so my...
Significantly.
That's hurtful.
No, there's only about, like, what, a 3-4 year age difference between us?
Something like that. You're...
Yeah.
Something. It's enough that I was in college while you were, like, starting high school.
Yeah.
But when I was in college, the cybersecurity programs were not there. Anything security related was taught as a portion of other technical majors. So I went in, if you want to start early, I had a similar amount of opportunity in high school to do technical stuff. I come from a very smaller or significantly more smaller like farm or farming town in rural Ohio. And we really didn't do much with computers. The only computer class was yearbook, and all you learned how to do was Microsoft Publisher. And I've never used that again since. So, woohoo.
Oh, you don't use Photoshop and Publisher in your day-to-day job?
We couldn't afford Photoshop. We didn't have Photoshop. So I went into college thinking that, you know, the path forward was either you go to school to get a teaching degree or you're an engineer. And I was like, math. So similar boat there.
Yeah.
And I went into biology, which, surprise, there's math and chemistry. And chemistry is hard, and I didn't like it very much. So I swapped majors to early childhood education. And then I learned, hey, teachers actually don't make a lot of money, and it's hard to be a teacher, and you have to talk to children. And so I swapped again to psychology. And from there, I really did enjoy psychology, but there was something missing. I was like, I want more of a challenge. I want more of a hands-on thing. Mm-hmm. So I ended up finding this information telecommunication systems major, which I had taken a general elective, at the very base level version of that class, and I got a kick out of it, and I had a lot of fun with it, and it was a lot of like basics of networking. So I moved into that major, and that was our college's networking major. So we weren't computer science because we didn't require anything beyond calculus one or pre-calc or something like that, and we also didn't have only one or two requirements for programming classes. But we weren't the information management systems, the IMS or whatever you wanted to call it. Mm-hmm. Essentially the more business facing, like you said you started off with. So we were the middle child of those two. So we were technical with business, but not too much on either side. And in that also included security classes. And me and like two other guys were like, we really like security. We want to end up getting into security at some point. But we had professors who were like, you know, doing a dedicated security job is rare. Lo and behold, he wasn't predicting the future very well. But so I still did a focus of security while in school, or I liked to focus on security classes. But a lot of it was, you know, general networking, setting up routers, setting up switches, doing routing tables and things like that. Super helpful in the security world. So it ended up working out. But I too did internships. My first internship was with the information management team. of a company, and all we did was make sure that documents are following document retention, and that's really boring for a first-time internship person, and I was exhausted just by how boring it was. And I think that was the first time I started to, like, touch toes into, like, VulnHub and things like that. So I started to sort of dabble in the, what is pen testing? What is vulnerability analysis? And I would download VulnHub ISOs and do those on the side, but not very well, not very quickly at all. So back to school, finished up there, one more internship with the database management team, which that one was actually more interesting, but I did not have any database experience at all, so I had to learn SQL on the fly.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But I ended up, you know, learning how to do stored procedures and some basic database management stuff. And around that time, I got a job offer from that same company to be an internal auditor, which going from a technical degree into, hey, you're going to go look at other people doing technology. I was a little bit disheartened, but I didn't want to say no to an opportunity because it was, you know, job in the hand is worth two in your mind or something like that. So I went on to do the internal auditing. And as soon as I started, they were like, hey, we don't have anyone who specializes in ICS or industrial systems controls or industrial control systems. We're going to send you off to one of our plants and you're going to go focus that for 6 months. So I more or less had a third internship. It was a temporary assignment that I ran off and learned how to do industrial control systems and some basics there, which that was super interesting. I, you know, in another life, I would happily do that more. So from there, then I took that information, did the internal auditing thing for a couple of years. And that's when I actually started my OSCP in the background for funsies. And similar to what it sounded like you went through, Chase, of just took a long time. I didn't really know what I was getting into when I started it. So it just, it was a very slow process, very like I would get on, do maybe a box here and there, and then nothing happened. And, you know, that sort of thing. Fast forward, I think a year and a half, 2 years, they needed people on the security team at that company. And I was like, okay, cool. That security team had three people working for it, I think, at the time. So I was like, I'll be number four. So I went up and I ended up doing kind of like a pseudo security engineering management role. We referred to it as a service delivery coordinator. We had outsourced all of our security engineering team. So I was coordinating changes, making sure that we had engineers available for troubleshooting issues, things like that related to like firewalls, proxies, AV management, things like that. So I really, I jumped into the deep end there of the security engineering sphere and really got my taste of like, hey, I got a phone call at 2 a.m. because we have a firewall issue. Because an app is broken, something like that. So I was helping call outs and stuff like that. Really interesting. And then that's when the light started to shine on the logging and monitoring issue, and enter Chase as the new intern that actually really wanted to be there and did stuff, unlike some previous interns. So you were there as I made the swap to get a blue team started at that company. Really built up from the ground, like, hey, we have this logging monitoring sim set up. We're getting logs, quote unquote, but we're not doing anything about them. And they had all these like standard reporting coming out of the sim, but it wasn't, no one was taking action on them. They were, you know, reviewed either daily or weekly, but no action was taken on them. So it was like, we very quickly were like, this is stuff that is timely. You have to react to this. This is not look at this a week later and go, huh.
But the perimeter was secure, Sam. So nothing bad could ever happen.
It's true. Yeah, that's a thing. But from there, we evolved the blue team, made it into something. Then I actually got serious about doing the OSCP, and I sat down and I was pretty much, and it, as soon as I'd get off work, bless my wife for being as patient as she is, I'd get off work, go home, and just hit boxes, and just did that nonstop until I finally did the OSCP test, managed to get it, and all that fun stuff. I still think it's funny because Chase, you got your OSTP while we were both at the same company.
Yeah.
And then, like, a month and a half after you got your OSTP, you left. So when I got my OSTP, the CISO of that company was like, oh, shit. Yeah. So I got called into his office, and he's like, hey, I didn't know you were doing this. And I was like, yeah, it's just a thing I've been working on the side for a while. And he goes, do you want to work on our internal red team that we're setting up?
And let the record show, I tried to switch to the internal red team before I left.
Yeah, I think he saw your trajectory and was worried that I would do the same. And surprise, a year later, I did.
Yeah, it was funny because I spent like essentially a year trying to get Sam to apply to Black Lantern because I knew like that's what he wanted to do. And I thought he'd be a good fit and I thought that he would enjoy it. It didn't happen. And then one day I get a message from Sam, a screenshot of a message from like ZipRecruiter where our HR director at the time reached out to him to schedule an interview. He's like, did you do this? I was like, nope. And I went and showed it to the HR director, and he didn't even know that Sam and I knew each other. So it was one of those funny little coincidences.
Yeah, we Chase and I can't get away from each other, from working with each other. But yeah, so after about a year-ish, give or take, of working with the internal red team, some family stuff happened on my personal side. So we just kind of decided it was time to move on. We wanted to branch out from where we were living. And it was timely enough that Black Lantern recruited me from there. And I did the same thing that Chase did the CTF and all that fun stuff. And now we're here.
Yeah.
And we made a podcast.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my background. I don't have a cybersecurity degree, but I have a technical degree. And I've got some SANS certs in there too. I think I have a similar feeling about SANS that you do, Chase, about the CEH, of it's don't pay for it out of your own pocket.
Yeah.
If someone is paying you to do it. But I don't think it's, especially SANS, they've inflated the cost so much recently that the material's interesting and it's good when you like have a short amount of time to learn something, but at the price point that they're at, it's not worth paying out of pocket.
I think like what you were talking about, SANS does teach you good information. I think knowledge wise, they're actually worth it. I think the value from CEH just comes from having CEH next to your name. I don't think it actually really is a good teaching or learning tool or anything like that.
I saw something cringy on the internet the other day, like a screenshot of an email of someone like trying to get a off the books kind of hacking gig. And they're like, I'm a CEH, less so on the E. I'm like, ew, oh, stop. Oh. Don't do that. It was just weird. But no, certs are one of those hot button topics, I feel like, in our industry, where my take on certs are they are as useful as you put into them. Mm-hmm. But they've become this sort of weapon for recruiters to weed things out. Weed people out, not things.
Yeah.
Sorry, all of the people who don't identify as things. But I think that is a symptom of trying to use traditional recruiters for a industry that isn't like rooted in a traditional world yet.
Yeah.
Assigning these recruiters who've always been looking for accountants or regular IT people. And there are degrees for those, but there's not for cybersecurity. So you needed to measure another way. So enter a weird heavy reliance on certificates.
Yeah. Which like I personally, I'm not in charge of any hiring or anything, but I don't think I'd ever look down on someone for not having a degree or not having certs or anything like that, because at a certain point you can have all the knowledge to it. You just didn't pay to get the names next to your name. And
yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much independent study that happens in security anymore that it's, you know, you could have a top candidate, but they don't have a security degree or they don't have, you know, XYZ certs after their name, but they're still just as valuable, just as useful. And that was kind of my approach to the OSCP, is like, I just needed something to help me get a foot in the door or be taken more seriously. But I don't sit on the fact that I have my OSCP, I am part of the upper security class, you know. That's bullshit.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, there's definitely a lot of value to having your OSCP and all that, but people can get just as much knowledge and can learn the methodology just as well by doing like Hack the Box or Vuln Hub or any of the other lower cost things. But yeah, I think it's kind of ridiculous to not hire a candidate because they might not be in the financial position to get the letters next to their name.
Yeah. I do highly recommend Hack the Box for anyone starting out and is listening to this podcast and wants to learn how to do stuff. It's a great resource for that. What I always recommend is they've got the retired boxes still available. So go through those, and there's a bunch of walkthroughs out there. So learn the methodology that way.
Yes.
Going through the walkthrough, go through the retired box step by step and learn it.
And don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to fail.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, really the long and short of it, that's my route here. And so bio major, early childhood major, psychology major, then a technical major, networking major, IT auditor, security engineering manager thing, blue team thing, red team, and then Black Lantern.
Yeah.
More of the story. More, I guess the moral of this episode in general is to reach out to those people who are listening to this going, I want to be in security. I really do, but I don't know how to get started. Moral of that story is just do it. Just find something that you're interested in the security realm and learn about it. There's a hundred different resources out there available that are free. And then even, you know, like Hack the Box is free. Try Hack Me is free. And that's if you want to do the red teaming side of things. There's also a lot of other resources out there that are blue teaming centric, reverse engineering centric, digital forensic centric, right? There are options out there for you. So if you want to do this, if you want to get into security, you just got to do it. Just got to step into it.
And don't disqualify yourself before you even start. You know, don't be afraid to, if like, I mean, it, at a certain point, you might not feel like you're ready, but you might actually be. So don't be afraid to throw out applications. Don't be afraid to maybe embarrass yourself in an interview. I've done that before. It's important to try. It's way more important to try and fail than it would is to be like, oh, I don't have enough knowledge. I'm not ready yet. Like, try.
Yeah. You're not saving yourself from anything by not putting yourself out there.
Yeah. If what you really want to do is red teaming, pen testing, or anything like that, you're going to be miserable if you find yourself like 10 years later still trying to learn it because you never thought you were ready to apply.
This episode turned weird, weird PSA.
The more you know.
The more you know. We're like an after school special for wannabe security people. But I mean, I guess in all reality, it's just, it's like any field. If you really want to do something, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
You can't sit back and wait for it to happen to you. You've got to take it and go. And I think both Chase and my stories both kind of exemplify that of, you know, we just started the OSCP, didn't know what we were doing, but we got there in the end.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter where you start. We've got a bunch of stories of people who started in non-technical fields and ended up in security, like Thomas from last episode.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got an interest, and I really think this applies to pretty much anything. If you've got an interest in it and you've got a passion for it, lean on the passion and start to fuel it. Start to find things that energize you more and make you want to do more of it.
100%.
So we should probably start wrapping up.
Yes.
This episode is different for sure. And I'm really interested in feedback of what you guys think about just sort of Chase and I talking about stuff. I'm not saying we couldn't get a guest this week or we were just all way too busy to really line up schedules or anything this week, but that may or may be the reason why we have this episode.
It's because we were way too busy. Yeah.
It's
crazy lately.
Which is a good thing, but it when it comes to trying to make a podcast, it's complicated for scheduling. So I wouldn't be shocked if more of these sort of simpler episodes come out at some point. But yeah, send us some feedback on what you think about this style.
I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 1,000. And if anyone can tweet us the right number, you will be the next guest on the podcast.
That would be wild. Or, you know, if we get, okay, you know, we'll see if I can actually make this happen. If I can get stickers produced, like any port in the net stickers, the first I'll say 20 people to tweet at anyport_pod with the hashtag sticker please. I will personally ship out stickers to you.
He will personally drive to your house and give you a sticker.
I will not do that because of hashtag COVID, but I will spray perfume, not mine or not my cologne, just perfume in general on the envelope and send them out.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not trying to force interaction with listeners. That's not what's happening here.
Not at all. No, we're just giving back to the community via sticker.
Now I need to go make stickers.
Yeah.
So to wrap things up, follow us on anyport_pod on Twitter. Follow Black Lantern Security at Black Lantern Security LLC on Twitter. Share this podcast with people. Let us know what you think. We really enjoyed making it. Getting to do this podcast is actually a highlight for me.
Yes.
Throughout the week.
Editing, so it's just
a lot of fun. Yeah, that's a different story, but it's worth it. So any feedback you guys have, we would love to get. And
tell us how you think Sam should end it.
Yeah.
That's not something we've specialized in yet.